Hi, everybody. This is Eve Harrow, and you are listening to Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network, of course, here with Ben Bresky. Here it means Jerusalem. And when? 17th of April, 2016, the ninth day of Nisan, 5776, just a few days before the start of Passover. So there is like this real spring feeling in the air. Happens to be beautiful, beautiful day here in Jerusalem, very warm, and really like a spring feeling. And spring cleaning going on. I wonder if that's something else the Jewish people give to the world, is spring cleaning, because everybody is getting their houses ready for Passover. And here in Israel, it being a national holiday, not a religious holiday, but also a national holiday. So the kids are off of school. Anybody really connected with the school system is also out there. I noticed, because there was a lot less traffic this morning than there has been. The cars are getting clean. The garbage bins are overflowing everywhere you look. I know in my house, I've had a really, really busy couple of months. So I finally got to straighten out some things that had piled up, throw some things out, clean some things up. It's just a good feeling, like really the feeling of new beginnings, which is exactly what Passover is all about. It was the new beginnings for the Jewish people leaving Egypt, getting the Torah, getting that magnificent book upon which really I think all of civilization rests, and then eventually coming into the land of Israel. Yes, it took us a while to muck around in the desert, but then we finally came in. Last week, I was touring a wonderful family, and part of what we did was go over to Qasr al-Yahud, which is the part of the Jordan River right before it empties into the Dead Sea. And that is where tradition holds that that's where we crossed in with Joshua on Passover. So to go there now to read from the Bible, to read about how the Levites went in and holding the Ark of the Covenant, and then the people followed, and to see that that area, and to turn around and see Jericho right behind, of course, Jericho, where, you know, the walls come tumbling down, just to really like feel history, feel our beginnings. And we're talking about like 3,300 years ago, but to be so connected, to again get into that mindset, which a lot of people have as they're washing their cars and washing their floors and washing everything out, of water and as new beginnings, not just crossing over the Jordan River to come into the land of Israel, but of course, the parting of the Red Sea, ritual baths that people still go to, baptism, which is what we were watching at that site also. It's become a very traditional and beautiful place for Christians of all denominations to come and baptize. The flood with Noah, you could look at it as destruction of the world. You could look at it as renewal of the word of the world. So that idea of water, of renewal and new beginnings, not with a bar of soap, but like a spiritual kind of cleansing. And we see that, of course, what's going on in Israel today and in Jewish homes all around the world is with not just the bar of soap, but all the different kinds of cleansers. But what's interesting is that it's actually the very end then of our rainy season. So we're using all this idea of water and all this idea of new beginnings that actually are the start of our dry season here in the land of Israel. We're going to have 6 months where it's not going to rain any day now. We're going to have that last rain, what's called the Malkosh, the last rain of the season. And we're so connected here. We're so connected here to the seasons, to the rain, to what grows, that you really, really feel it. You really understand not just the past, but you understand the connection in the future and the holidays and the harvest. We're going into Passover, which is really the celebration of the barley harvest. That's the first food that is harvested after a long, cold, harsh winter. And that's why you're going to eat the barley, because you're so hungry that really, you know, it doesn't matter. And so like you feel it here in a very different way than you feel it anywhere else. Connected to the Bible, connected to our holidays, just connected to our people. It's a national holiday, religious holiday, where it all comes together. So we've got an interesting show today. I'm going to be focusing on the Geek Picnic. Lots of activities going on in Israel during the intermediate days of Passover, Chol HaMoed Pesach, because the kids are off of school, the parents are off, and Israelis love to take the kids out. There are two main holidays where we're out and about aside from the summer, and those are the intermediate days of Passover and of course of Tabernacles, of Sukkot as well, at the end of the summer. And so lots of activities being planned all around the country, very family oriented, and one of them is the Geek Picnic that's going to be happening in Jerusalem for 3 days. And so I'm going to be interviewing somebody who's kind of in charge of the picnic, and then one of the vendors, Dr. Yael Schuster, who's got some really cool things going on. So stay tuned. Rejuvenation coming right back.
You're listening to Rejuvenation with Eve Harrow on the Land of Israel Network. To contact her, email eve@thelandofisrael.com. That's eve@thelandofisrael.com.
Hi, everybody. I am back with Carmi Wortman, who's the owner of 2B Vibes Production Company. And what is putting him on my radar this week is that he is producing Geek Picnic, which is going to be in the Gan Sacher in Sacher Park in Jerusalem on 3 days of the intermediate days of Passover, of Chol HaMoed Passover, next week. So, Carmi, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, what is Geek Picnic? Great name.
Geek Picnic, we try to find an easy way to explain to people who have no idea what it is. We call it a Luna Park of science, technology, and art.
Okay.
And it's
like an amusement park for science and technology. Okay.
Exactly. That's the layman's way to explain it. And it's an amazing experience. I've been to the event twice already in St. Petersburg. It's been going on there for the last 5 years.
Oh, okay.
This is the first time it's moved out of Russia and into their global strategy. And they chose
Really?
Israel.
This is the first time it's out of Russia?
It's the first time it's out of Russia.
Okay.
In 2016 and 2017, it's expected to be in a few other places around the world also.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose Israel because they saw Israel as a powerhouse of technology.
Oh, yeah.
And a place where they can get amazing content to go other places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have our first person landing today from Russia, one of the owners. And everyone's really, really excited to have this being taken place here. And
we also have a lot of former Russians or former Soviets, whatever you want to call it. The names are a little confusing. We've got like, I don't know, a million, something like one out of every eight Israelis, you know, showed up from there not long ago. Do you think that makes a difference to the fact that they picked Israel, that there's a big connection here?
I don't know, because the organizers themselves aren't Jewish.
Uh-huh.
But I think they just realize Israel's amazing innovation and technology abilities.
Okay.
And they really just saw this place. They chose us, which is very interesting. And many, many times I'll choose a production that I wouldn't bring to Israel, but we got chosen by them.
Mm-hmm.
They came to Israel 2 summers ago during the war.
Wow.
And they were here, and they met with a bunch of production companies, and every single place they went to, they said, there's only one person in Israel that's going to make this happen. It's Carmi Wortman. You got to give him a call.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah, so it's nice that we have a good name out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with them, and 2 weeks afterwards, we were already in St. Petersburg, me and my partner, Uri Glicksberg.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just blown away. It was like this event was created for Israel. By chance, it happened in Russia.
Right.
We feel that it's the exact DNA of the Israeli population to go to a technology, science, the whole mix together of an outdoor fun event with an educational atmosphere surrounding it, but in a fun way, it was perfect for Israel.
Right. Except that we're not geeks. We're cool. That's the only difference. Okay.
Listen, it's something that I've learned, that when we grew up, there were certain movies out there like Revenge of the Nerds and stuff like that, and geeks mm-hmm. were laughed at. But today, the geeks are cool.
The geeks are cool. We've turned it around.
The geeks are cool. We see that also in the music industry. And I think everywhere, I think that in the past, the jocks were the cool people. And I think today, the geeks are the cool people. So.
Mm-hmm. And the smart ones. So
exactly. So that fits perfectly for us here in Israel.
Yes. Although there are some muscles running around the country too, so they're jockey geeks. I think we've got it all. I love this country.
We definitely have it all. And when we came here and presented the idea to the Jerusalem municipality, they were also blown away with it. And people may or may not know this, but Nir was originally in high tech before he became the mayor.
Right.
And he was like, "We have to have this event in Jerusalem, Carmi."
Well, let me ask you, why did you pick Jerusalem? Wouldn't someone say the automatic address for this would be Tel Aviv or the greater Tel Aviv area?
It's a great question, and it's one that's been asked. First of all, we're a Jerusalem production company,
mm-hmm.
and we love doing things in Jerusalem. We do produce things all over the country, from Eilat and all the way up to the Golan Heights every year. And we met with the Tel Aviv municipality and the Jerusalem municipality, and the Jerusalem municipality together with JDA.
What's JDA?
JDA, I know how to say that in Hebrew.
Okay.
Rashut LePituach Yerushalayim. Jerusalem Development.
The Authority for the Development of Jerusalem. Okay.
Right. So they immediately said, "Carmi, this event's going to be in Jerusalem. Tell us what you need to make it happen.
Wow.
And they fought to have it in Jerusalem. And for me, it's a natural place to do it. I produced the Jerusalem Student Day at Soccer Park once a year for the last 10 years. So we know that every single hole and path in that park we know by heart.
Right.
And Jerusalem's also a powerhouse for startups and high-tech companies.
Yeah, I think people don't realize it. They really tend to focus on Tel Aviv as being the city. But Jerusalem has a couple of parks, has a couple of high-tech parks, and there's a lot going on here. There really are. I take people into these workshop areas, like these, you know, these open spaces where people are working on things and sharing ideas, PICO, etc. People are blown away what's going on in Jerusalem. And there seems to be also more cooperation and less competition. That's the sense that I got from talking to people on the Jerusalem scene, which was really nice also.
For sure. And by the way, PICO is my brother.
No way. He said Isaac?
Yeah. Ellie.
Ellie. Wow, that's so funny. What a small world.
A very small
okay.
world.
My
brother,
so
who is one of the original.
He did not know that, everybody who's listening to this show. We had no idea. Okay.
So yeah. Ellie, my brother, is one of the original high tech entrepreneurs in Israel and in Jerusalem specifically.
That's great.
And he's been very successful with taking companies international. And
okay.
I'm the low tech brother who does the cool.
You just
events
push the
festivals.
Papers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do the radio interviews and all that. Okay. Well, why Passover?
So also, we took the concept of the festival in Russia and we did adaptations to fit the Israeli population. So in Russia, it's a two-day event in St. Petersburg and a two-day event in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
They're both happening this year in June. And we said for Israel, what we want to do it over 3 days, and we want to split it up into two events a day, having a morning event and an afternoon event.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was being that we feel like the first time doing this in Israel, where we have to actually do the branding for the event, we want people to have an amazing experience. We want them not to have to wait in line to do each attraction. And we did our own adaptations to make it fit the Chol HaMoed experience, where we have the morning events more catered towards families and the evening events more towards youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And Pesach is just a time that everybody's off, everybody's on vacation. And as someone who has three young kids, we're always looking for stuff to do with our kids during Passover.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of events out there where either the kids really want to go and the parents are like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And there's the opposite. The parents say, let's take the kids to the museum. The kids are like, oh, man, that's boring. So this is the type of event that both the kids and the parents want to go to, from the experience that I've had with my close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in itself is an amazing experience, to have the father excited about the four-story high robot which crushes cars and the kid excited about the same thing.
Right.
So,
you don't find that very often. And just to get out of the house. Well, I'm planning on coming not only with my kids, but with my grandchildren, because I think they'll really enjoy it as well. So we're going to do a three-generational thing. If I can get tickets, because I see that you're already selling out. So
we have two of the six events sold out, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, fabulous.
And for a first-time event, you know, we really want it to be perfect. We bought a license for Geek Picnic Israel for 10 years, and we hope to have it here as a long-time brand in Israel.
Mm-hmm. So give me an idea. I'm going to be speaking with Dr. El Schuster, who's going to have a tent for the know-it-alls, so we don't have to talk about her. But give me an idea of who else is going to be there. What other things, aside from the four-story car-crushing robot, people who go could expect to see?
Right. So I'll start with our local collaborations, and I'll tell a little bit about the international collaborations.
Great.
We have a very big collaboration with Intel Israel, and Intel are going to have a massive a tent there with their latest and greatest, which they're ready and able to show the general public. There's certain things they can't show just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really proud to have that type of collaboration with such a big company for the first year. It really gives us like a stamp of being kosher.
Right.
And
kosher for Passover, right?
Which, by the way, the event is kosher for Passover, and we even were able to find kosher beer for Passover, which is incredible.
Whoa, okay.
Gluten-free.
Gluten, of course,
It's a festival, so you want to have some festival atmosphere also to it.
And kids get hungry. Parents get hungry.
Exactly. So there's the kosher food for everybody. We try to keep the festival-style food with the kosher, the Pesach limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Intel coming out. We have drone racing, which is something which is becoming very, very popular in the world right now. In Israel, there's an organization called FRIL, which they lead the drone racing. So we'll have a whole outdoor area of drone racing, which People can see live in their own eyes, but they can also look on the screens and see from the eyes of the drones of how they're racing through the trees in the forest, and that will be in the area of the park, which is between the Knesset and the park, so, which will be an amazing experience to see something like that. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it before, but it's...
With the unmanned little vehicles that fly around, for those who don't know what a drone is. I'm sure the security people at the Knesset are loving that you're doing this at our parliament right next door.
Right next door, exactly. But listen, I have to say once again, everybody is really excited.
Okay.
Even the, I mean, as someone who produces a lot of events in Jerusalem, and we sometimes have to deal with the difficulties of Jerusalem.
Challenges,
correct.
Yes.
So here everyone's really, really excited about this. The police are excited that this event is in Jerusalem. They're giving us their full support and taking care of security for us. So from that point of view, everyone can feel very, very comfortable with coming to the event in Jerusalem.
Right.
We have something which we call fashion technology. So we have a whole tent full of fashion technology, which people can say, what is that? So it's clothing which is printed by 3D printers. It's smart bracelets and necklaces and everything having to do with technology. Today, in the past, you would have to go to a store and try on pants and see how they look on you. Today, you can have there's certain apps where you can go virtual to any store you want and try the clothing on without leaving your own house. So there's going to be so many different...
Right. Whoa.
Right. It's mind-blowing, all these things, in my opinion. I'm a music producer, so this is a lot of this stuff is new to me as well. We have our whole robot area. So we have a lot of the latest and greatest robot developments in Israel. And we can see how robots are used in many cases for medical emergencies, how they're used just for day-to-day life to improve one's home needs and stuff like that. We have the whole area of what people call the third revolution, which are the 3D printers, which today people can print anything and everything you want from 3D printers, whether it's food. We're going to have chocolate being printed. And
I'm there. I'm so there. Real chocolate?
Real chocolate. Kosher LePesach pancakes made out of matzah meal. We have coffee toppings where you'll get your picture taken, and then the top of your coffee will have your picture on your own coffee. We have these cool printers which will scan your torso, and then within 30 minutes you'll have an exact replica of yourself in small dimensions with the exact coloring of your clothing. And
perfect for the narcissist. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
our mayor actually went out and did a copy of this for our press conference. We have a small replica of Mayor Nir Barkat. And it's incredible how accurate it looks like, including the crease on the shirts.
So, okay.
So that's what we call the third revolution. Or that's what the industry called the third revolution.
Mm-hmm.
We have the whole gaming. You can't have an event like this without the gaming, the latest and greatest in gaming technology, which, once again, as a parent or as a grandparent, you know that our kids are more and more stuck to the screens.
Yes.
So we're going to have the stuff that they can have at home, the big games and the latest games there, to kind of show what the future is leading towards us. And then in the 90s, the virtual reality broke through and then kind of died away. And now it's making a really big comeback, and it's called virtual reality and augmented reality. So we'll have a whole area with virtual reality where you have the goggles on and you suddenly enter another dimension of reality and you see things that look very, very real, but you're not actually moving. I tried one of them at our press conference, and I had the sword, and there were all these objects coming towards me, and I had to pretend that I was knocking them down. So that's great, great fun.
Wow.
And so that's pretty much our zones. We have our art zone also in science, which Dr. Yael Schuster can tell you about a bit later, but we have a collaboration with the Hebrew University, who they're responsible for the science at the festival, and they'll be bringing out some great, great science booths and lectures. And oh, something I didn't mention, each zone has its own lecture tent.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a lecture tent in technology and arts and science, and what we call GeekMe, which is any other subject which is just cool and fun to talk about. So, like I said, there's stuff to do for every single generation that's going to be there. If someone wants to go hear a great interview, they can hear an interview, and if somebody, a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone wants to play with the drones, they can go and they can do the drone tryouts.
It sounds like so much fun. I can't wait. Really.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I would like to talk a little bit about my international
sure.
content, if we have time.
Yeah, sure.
So on the international front, we the parent festival from Russia. They were responsible for getting all our international content. And one of the coolest things, which I think is really, really appropriate for Israel, is we're going to have a bionics conference, which in Israel, bionics, strangely enough, is only developed in two major areas. One is called Outer Skeleton Rewalk, which pretty much gets people up and running.
Right.
And the other one is Bionic Eyes, which kind of reminds us all of the $6 Million Man.
Okay.
But in the world today, bionics is something which really, really helps people improve their lives and gives them an opportunity to not only be like you and me, but to actually be even
more.
More.
Not just to
exactly.
overcome handicaps, but to really
right.
max it out. Yeah.
Right. They like to say in Hebrew, I need help with the translation again, Anashim Meshudragim. They're people which are upgraded.
Upgraded, yeah.
And we have a guy, an amazing guy who I met twice in St. Petersburg called Jason Barnes, who's coming out, who lost his arm in a freak accident. And his dream was to become a drummer. And he actually approached an Israeli professor at Georgia Tech who built him a robotic arm, which makes him a super drummer right now. So he's going to come out and tell everybody about his experience, and he's going to play some music for us. And that's going to be amazing, I think, for people to get to interact
mm-hmm.
and meet these people who have all gone through either freak accidents or were born unfortunate, and suddenly now...
And we have here in Israel sometimes people who've been injured, unfortunately, in wars or in, you know, other kinds of terrorism or something, who I imagine could also benefit from all this.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this company called... Open Robotics, Open Bionics, who are coming out, and they
mm-hmm.
pretty much will show you how you can print your own 3D arm, for example, or leg, whether it's with a Disney fitting to it, so you look like you have a Disney arm, or a cool superhero that you like, and it's very, very accessible and not expensive and open code, and it's really, really cool. So.
Well, Purim is going to take on a whole new look pretty soon.
Purim is going to take on a whole new look, but also day-to-day life for
yeah.
certain people. And we
Absolutely.
Did invite certain people to come out who were unfortunate and come to meet these people. And I'm actually going to be leading the panel, the bionics panel, so people are going to just have an open talk about what it is to live with bionics and how accessible it is. In Russia, when they had the conference, they were talking about hacking. How do you make sure people don't hack your ligaments?
Right.
It's mind-blowing, the capabilities.
The things you wouldn't even
there.
Think of to think of are today. Wow.
The things that we grew up watching and seeing on television, what's called science fiction, are now reality, many of these things. And it's incredible to see, to even think about how these people thought about these things 30 or 40 years ago, and today they're actually becoming real.
Let me ask you, if you already brought it up, where did you grow up, Carmi? Your English is good.
I was born in Philadelphia, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, Lower Merion.
Mm-hmm.
But I was raised in Jerusalem from first grade.
Mm-hmm.
But we kept the English. We spoke English at home with the
right.
family.
Right.
You know, I kept up the English, but my kids aren't English speakers yet. I married a seventh-generation Jerusalemite.
That's great.
But they'll pick it up with all the screens and technology and movies. We'll catch up on English.
Mm-hmm.
So besides our bionics and international, we have our big, huge Hand of Man, it's called, which is a big car-crushing robot, which this was at all the big international festivals, at Burning Man, at Coachella, Geek Picnic Russia, and we saw it there. We said we have to have that in Israel, and that should be arriving, I believe, on Wednesday. It's en route from the U.S. It came from far, from New Mexico. From Russia, we have amazing stuff coming out. We have a dragon robot, which was made at the Moscow University of Arts. In 9 days, it's a huge 5-meter dragon robot with a 7-meter wingspan. And the students are actually going to come out and explain about how to make such a robot and let people be a part of this amazing creation, which they made. Another amazing thing we have is called the Tesla Coil Show, something which has never been done in Israel before. It's a live lightning show. So we can actually see a man-made lightning show at the festival. For those who come in the morning, we'll be in a dark out tent so they can have the same experience. And for those who come at night, they'll be able to see it outside in the open door.
Wow.
Open atmosphere. Which I saw it last year in Russia, and it was totally, totally mind-blowing.
Huh.
Besides that, we have an amazing artist, Sasha Frilova, coming out, who she also brought some of her art, which will be put throughout the festival. And also, she'll be doing a show on stage at night. Anyway, we have 150
tremendous
points of
gamut.
Interest, so I can't go through
you
everything.
Can't, well, just a little slice of what you gave me sounds unbelievable. Thank you so much for taking time for the interview today, because I'm sure you've got a lot going on this week.
It's a busy week. It's
prepare.
Definitely a busy week.
So I'll let you go. Carmi Wortman, the owner of 2B Vibes Production Company, behind Geek Picnic, coming to Jerusalem for the first time. You know, everybody thinks about Jerusalem, the deep history of Jerusalem, which of course it has. But the future is coming to Jerusalem also. And you can be a part of it during the intermediate days of Passover at Soccer Park. Carmi, thank you so much. I can't wait to get there.
Thank you, Eve.
Take care.
Take care.
Eve Harrow. On Rejuvenation for the Land of Israel Network, coming right back with one of those brilliant scientists, Dr. Yael Schuster, and the Know-It-Alls. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rejuvenation with Eve Harrow. To contact her, send her an email at eve@thelandofisrael.com. That's eve@thelandofisrael.com.
Hi, everybody. I am now with Dr. Yael Schuster, more formally or informally known as Dr. Mom, who is going to have one of the tents at the Geek Picnic called the Know-It-Alls. So Dr. Mom, Yael, Dr. Schuster, thanks so much for joining me today on Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel.
Thank you very much for having me.
So that's a great name. What are the Know-It-Alls? What is the Know-It-Alls?
So the Know-It-Alls was started about a year ago, and our goal is to get kids, especially girls, interested and excited about science. The name came from the storyline about a group of young girls who go out on scientific adventures, and they're called the Know-It-Alls because some kids tease them in school about knowing everything, and they try to show kids that it's actually pretty cool to explore science and to be a know-it-all.
So you really think that that's an issue in 2016, that girls are still afraid to get into sciences or feel, you know, or look smart, be nerds
oh,
or not be nerds? Definitely, yeah.
Definitely. There's a lot of research that shows that at a certain age, girls start underperforming in science and math. And it goes all the way into college and into the professional field. In the U.S., only 25% of workers in the science and technology fields are women.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading research years ago that that's actually why there should be separate classes for girls and for boys, because girls do tend to underachieve when they're in a class with boys and just do fine when it's only girls. So I guess that's all part of that, whatever it is, social pressure. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely the research has shown that girls perform better in single-sex classrooms and boys actually perform worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a whole big social picture of lots of different influences.
Right. But
and
coming,
so we're trying to do our part.
Right. So that's coming from your niche. So what is the Know-It-Alls? What do you actually do? It's a board game. It's a workshop. It's like, what exactly is it?
Right. So we provide three things. The first is we have a toy line of different subjects, and each subject is a kit that's basically an adventure book and a scientific kit. We also are building an international community of girls to communicate through science. And we also run a lot of workshops, which is why we're going to be at Geek Picnic, to sort of give kids an exciting taste of science and show that they can learn and they can be successful and enjoy playing with science. The kit is aimed at girls ages 8 to 12. The workshops we run are for all genders and pretty much all ages. We have
oh,
a
all genders. Okay, you're letting the boys in too for the workshops.
We like to play with everyone.
Okay, that sounds great. That's a great age also, 8 to 12. I think that's like the best age in general because, you know, you don't have to cut up their food and they're pretty independent, but the hormones haven't hit and all that teenage nasty stuff hasn't come in yet. So it's a really,
yeah,
really
they're
nice
fun.
Age. Yeah, totally. Well, if you're doing this internationally, what language are you doing it in? You're assuming everyone knows English?
Right. So we have our products right now in English and in Hebrew. We're currently translating into Arabic. Those are
cool.
One of the major languages in Israel. And we have, you know, dreams of translating them into a lot of other languages as we expand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got to ask you, who's we?
So the team we have is me and two other people. I'm a chemist by training. I have a PhD in organic chemistry from the Technion. My business partner is, she's an American and she has a business degree. And we have another partner who is a physics teacher.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, smart group over there. So your English is very good. I know you're living in Israel now, and you got your degree from the Technion, which is one of Israel's premier universities. But you sound suspiciously like me in the sense that you came from the States. What's your story? What's your personal background?
So I grew up in Virginia, actually, in the middle of nowhere. No, not even a town name, sort of half an hour north of Richmond.
Really?
And
wow, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Your parents are horse people or something? No?
We actually grew up next to a horse pasture. There were some mornings where the horses would escape and start eating our garden.
Uh-huh.
It was sort of like Little House on the Prairie.
When
there was no electricity, we had to go to the horse pasture and pump our water.
Seriously? Wow, that's a crazy story. Okay.
Right. Yeah, so I think we sort of learned to create things and explore and run around and put things under the microscope. We had definitely different experiences growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was about 20, after my first degree, I moved to Israel, decided to have adventures and start learning Hebrew, and I've been here ever since.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Really? No, like birthright or no?
I went on birthright. Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever gone to Israel was on birthright.
Uh-huh.
And then on the plane on the way home, I decided that's it. I'm moving to Israel.
Amazing. Wow. Okay. And then so you moved to Israel at age 20, and then you continued your studies here?
Yeah, then I did my PhD, the master's and PhD here, and started working after my PhD. I ended up working at the Weizmann Institute as a researcher and lab manager.
Mm-hmm. Well, but your doctor mom, so somewhere along the line, their kids?
Yeah, I have two boys, actually. And
of course.
They actually, right. Well, you know, I didn't. Yeah. They're wonderful, and they love playing with our science kits.
Right.
So after I got my PhD, actually, there's sort of this thing about how very often women are not called by their professional name. So people, even in a professional setting, will call other people doctor so-and-so, and me, they'll call Yael. Mm-hmm. And so I started, you know, insisting that people call me doctor. Even to the point of my kids, where they started making fun of me by calling me Dr. Mom. And it just sort of seemed like the really who I am, the scientist and the mom and an educator. And so now, you know, we wrote it on the back of my lab coat, and that's who I am.
Wow. So that's great. That's actually perfect. So it's just so ironic that you had boys when like... Because, you know, someone like just like looking at what you're doing right now, I think, oh, she had girls and her girls were in school and she felt they weren't being, you know, encouraged to do the sciences. So she started this business. But no, this comes from somewhere else, which is really neat, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of advising to female scientists and looking at the difficulties that we might be faced as females and what we can do to change the face of the next generation. And we really decided that the most powerful thing to do was to start working with kids and change it from perceptions and from the societal views from a young age for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that like girls' brains are wired differently and we just can't get math the way the boys do? Do you think it's all
environment? I think we're pretty good at math too.
Right. Right. So, but you know, you're working at the Weizmann Institute. Don't we have a Nobel laureate from a woman, Israel? From
yes.
The Weizmann Institute, Dr.
Adi
Yona. Right.
Yeah, she's a very impressive woman.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely women who have achieved great things in science, but if you look at the numbers, when I was at the Technion, only 7% of tenured professors were female.
Wow,
so
that's really low.
And at Weizmann, you know, it's been 10 years later, so it's something like 12%.
That's still way low. That's not what it should be. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, do you think part of it is because women choose not to go into such intensive careers because it's hard to like split home life with, you know, with that? Or you think that there is some kind of glass ceiling that women can't push through or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination. If you look at a lot of the Sheryl Sandberg lean in kind of views on why women choose to drop out or what the family life expectations will influence women differently than men, that's also coupled with a lot of things that have absolutely nothing to do with kids. In science, there's a lot of research that shows that if a woman, the name of a woman is on the paper as the first author, it will get accepted at a lower rate than if the man of, name of a man is on the paper.
Really?
Or that people are evaluated differently for tenure if it's a female name versus a men name. And this has been done with studies where they sent the exact same CV and just changed the first name. So it's not just the children. There are a lot of other societal expectations and biases that are playing here.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what will happen in the next generation, because one of the things I notice here in Israel is there seem to be less gender-specific names. You know, there's a lot of boys and girls who share the same name now, like Tal, for example, or Noam, names that could go either way for boys or girls, which I wonder if a name like that went on a paper and there was an assumption that it was a man, as opposed to the fact that it really was a woman. I wonder if that's going to start making a difference, because I really do see that a lot of the names now that are being given could go for a boy or for a girl. I wonder if anyone's done research on that.
Definitely. I'm sure it makes it harder for people to discriminate.
Yeah, see? That's a good thing. So can you tell us what, maybe some of us will even understand, what are you working on? What's your lab work in Weizmann, if we're ready talking?
So the lab work, I still stay there about one day a week to get to play with my really expensive toys. And the lab works on geochemistry, which is basically looking at rocks and trying to understand from those rocks what the conditions were when they were created. And more specifically, we look at a time period of about 2.5 to 3.5 billion years ago. Billion, not million.
Wow.
Which is basically the time when the Earth was going from having no oxygen at all to having a couple percentages of the amount of oxygen that we have today, which was a huge change in what kind of life was able to develop and changes in the oceans and the atmospheres. And so you can sort of look at different markers in the rocks that were formed at that time and understand what was going on in the atmosphere and the oceans and the life forms that were evolving.
Does that have practical applications for research that's going on today? Like some of the changes that are happening in the world today? Not at all.
You could stretch it and say, but no, it's really just interesting basic science. It develops tools that are definitely useful for a variety of disciplines, but mainly basic research to understand how the world was created, how the planets were created, how the world that we live in got to be the way it is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Yael Schuster, known as Dr. Mom, one of the initiators of the Know-It-Alls, very much involved with the way, way, way past, and of course the future, getting girls to enjoy science and mathematics and make it their career and really feel like it applies to them as well. So you're going to be at the Geek Picnic in Jerusalem. Are you going to be there all three days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
We're going to be there all 3 days. We have 8 workshops a day, 2 different kinds of workshops open to kids of all ages. Very exciting, fun, hands-on, just playing with science.
Okay. Well, I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for joining me today. Okay. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation, with, of course, Ben Bresky. Can't make a move without Ben Bresky. Have a great week, everybody. Be back soon. Bye for now.